Do you want victory? You can have it in Christ Jesus.
Time once again for Abiding in Christ with Jim Wood.
You have to step back, evaluate the various positions in light of Scripture, and then re-engage with a godly perspective.
Pastor Wood is the founder of Ware's Valley Ranch, a Christian home and school for kids from crisis situations.
Jesus said, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love."
You can contact the program by calling 866-41-ABIDE or by visiting us on the web at pastorwood.org. And now, here's your host, Jim Wood.
If you would please open your Bibles to Genesis. Chapter 39. Genesis chapter 39. Stepping back into what was happening in Joseph's life. Remember, he'd been sold as a slave. Well, here we go. Now, Joseph had been taken down to Egypt. Potiphar, an Egyptian who was one of Pharaoh's officials, the captain of the guard, bought him from the Ishmaelites who'd taken him there. And the Lord was with Joseph, and he prospered. And he lived in the house of his Egyptian master. When his master saw that the Lord was with him, and that the Lord gave him success in everything he did, Joseph found favor in his eyes and became his attendant. Potiphar put him in charge of his household, and he entrusted to his care everything he owned. From the time he put him in charge of his household and all that he owned, the Lord blessed the household of the Egyptian because of Joseph. The blessing of the Lord was on everything Potiphar had, both in the house and in the field. So he left in Joseph's care everything he had. With Joseph in charge, he did not concern himself with anything except the food he ate. Now Joseph was well-built and handsome. And after a while, his master's wife took notice of Joseph and said, "Come to bed with me." But he refused. "With me in charge," he told her, "my master does not concern himself with anything in the house. Everything he owns, he is entrusted to my care. No one is greater in this house than I am. My master has withheld nothing from me except you, because you are his wife. How then could I do such a wicked thing and sin against God?" And though she spoke to Joseph day after day, he refused to go to bed with her or even be with her. One day he went into the house to attend to his duties, and none of the household servants was inside. She caught him by his cloak and said, "Come to bed with me." But he left his cloak in her hand and ran out of the house. When she saw that he had left his cloak in her hand and had run out of the house, she called her household servants. "Look," she said to them, "this Hebrew has been brought to us to make sport of us. He came in here to sleep with me, but I screamed. When he heard me scream for help, he left his cloak beside me and ran out of the house." She kept his cloak beside her until his master came home. Then she told him this story. "That Hebrew slave you brought us came to me to make sport of me, but as soon as I screamed for help, he left his cloak beside me and ran out of the house." When his master heard the story his wife told him, saying, "This is how your slave treated me," he burned with anger. Joseph's master took him and put him in prison, the place where the king's prisoners were confined. But while Joseph was there in the prison, the Lord was with him. He showed him kindness and granted him favor in the eyes of the prison warden. So the warden put Joseph in charge of all those held in the prison, and he was made responsible for all that was done there. The warden paid no attention to anything under Joseph's care because the Lord was with Joseph and gave him success in whatever he did. May God add his blessing to this reading from his holy and inspired word. This is an example of how doing the right thing sometimes leads to greater problems. Isn't that good news? Aren't you encouraged? Doing the right thing sometimes leads to greater problems. But doing the wrong thing leads to worse problems. You will find yourself sometimes in a situation where if you do the right thing, you may suffer for it. But if you do the wrong thing, you will suffer for it. Guaranteed. Maybe not in the short term, but in the long term, you will suffer painful consequences. So it sounds like no matter what I do, there's likely to be suffering in life. Correct. But it's much better to suffer for doing what's right than to suffer for doing what's wrong. Joseph had been kidnapped by his brothers, then sold as a slave. Now he's in a foreign country. And as a slave in that country, he just does as little as possible in order to stay out of trouble. Is that right? No. He works super diligently. Diligent work means that you work hard with attention to detail. Okay? It's possible to work hard and not be smart about what you're doing and make as many messes as you fix. It's also possible to be paralyzed by attention to detail so that you end up not working hard because you're not sure if I do this, that might happen, and if I do this, this might happen. And I'm really not sure. I'm going to have to give this some more thought. But if you're diligent, which the Bible says we should be, then you're going to work hard paying attention to the details. Okay? Joseph fit that description. He was a diligent, hardworking guy. And he got promoted. He was still a slave in a foreign country, but now he had more privileges and more responsibility. In fact, God was with him, says that over and over in the story of Joseph. God was with him. God was with him. And because of the Lord's blessing, not only did Joseph's work go well, but it seemed like everything in the whole house was going well. All of Potiphar, his master's concerns, were prospering. And he recognized that it was because of Joseph. God's blessing was on the household because of Joseph. So, he ends up as chief of staff. He's the guy who runs everything. All the other servants have to answer to him. He's in charge of the household. The only thing that Potiphar makes decisions about is what he wants to eat. Now, Joseph, meanwhile, working hard, in charge, is well-built, and good looking, okay? He's got a nice face. This guy could have been a movie star, leading man. He's got a nice face. He's got a nice physique. And Potiphar's wife, when it says took notice of him, the words that are used there mean looked on him with desire, okay? She saw him as an object, which is what our culture teaches us to do to other people. It's not godly. Is it okay to notice the guy's good looking? Yeah, he was. God says so. Is it okay to notice he had a nice physique? Yeah, he did. God says so. Is it okay then just to see him as an object and say, I want that? No. That's not okay. She looked on him with desire and said, come to bed with me. Now, there's no comment here on what she looked like. It doesn't say she was beautiful, she was, had lovely hair or a beautiful smile or beautiful eyes. There's nothing about her figure, nothing about her looks. Here's why. All of that is irrelevant. All of that is irrelevant. It doesn't matter what she looked like. All that matters is, and Joseph makes this clear, she's Potiphar's wife. She is off limits. And so Joseph says, look, I really can't. I might lose my job. No, that's not what he says. I don't want your husband to find out and be mad at me. Not what he says. What he says is, how could I do such a wicked thing and sin against God? You see, sexual sin is not just based on whether or not it's consensual. That's the big term in our culture today. But that isn't what makes it a sin or not a sin. Let's see if we can recite together what you're supposed to know by heart. Sex is designed by God to be an expression of love between a man and a woman who are married to each other. What if they're not married to each other? That's not okay. Well, what if they're married but not to each other? Then it's not okay. Well, what if it's two men? Not okay. What if it's two women? Not okay. So the only context in which sexual relations are okay is in the context of a man and a woman who are married to each other. Yes. And where it's an expression of love. See, even in marriage, there are people who do not behave in a godly way. An expression of love between a man and a woman who are married to each other. Got that? Now that's important. It's very important because if you really, truly internalize that which is consistent with God's word, you will find yourself completely out of step with the culture. This woman was trying to seduce an employee, a slave. And Joseph said, no, it would be a wicked thing, a sin against God. She said, okay, well, forget you. No. That just made him that much more tantalizing. That just made him that much more desirable. Oh, boy, I got to find a way to get to this guy. So day after day, she spoke to him. But he refused to go to bed with her or even to be with her. Please get that. If somebody's trying to seduce you, you're not going to improve the situation by saying, well, I can go this far, but that's as far as I can go. Okay? That's like trying to move a piano partway downstairs. You know, once you get going down the stairs, that piano is probably going to make it all the way to the bottom. You understand? Joseph not only refused, even though day after day she's trying to seduce him, she's persisting, he not only refused to go to bed with her, he refused to even be with her. No, I'm not available for lunch. No, we're not going to do that. No. Now, this was difficult because the nature of his job meant that they had contact all the time. But he wouldn't hang out with her. He didn't say, I can't go in the house, she's in the house. Well, of course she's in the house. She lives in the house. Well, I'm only going to just work out here in the yard. No, his work required him to face temptation day after day. Well, I don't think that's good. He should have put in for a transfer. He was a slave. You understand? He had no choice in whether or not there was going to be temptation. And I'll tell you something. Some temptations are unavoidable. And you need to know that. But you need to know something else. Sin isn't unavoidable. Joseph never gave in. You see, Satan and the world will try and tell us, oh, you might as well go ahead because you see, sooner or later you're gonna. That's a lie. That's a lie from the pit of hell. That's your enemy trying to convince you that there's no point in resisting temptation because sooner or later you're gonna give in. You can't say no forever. I don't have to say no forever. I need to say no right now. Pastor Wood, are you saying that you've gotten to the point where you never sin? No, I'm not saying that. What I'm saying is every time I do sin, it's my fault. It's not something that I couldn't say no to. We have brothers and sisters around the world who are dying daily because they will not compromise regarding their loyalty to Jesus Christ. They refuse to give in. And it cost them their life. But there's a promise. Whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. Don't be afraid to lay your life down in order to do what God says.
Thank you for tuning in to Abiding in Christ. This radio broadcast is brought to you from the campus of Wares Valley Ranch. The ranch is a home and school for kids that God allowed my wife and I to start in 1991. And through the years, children from all over the country in various crisis situations have found a safe haven at the ranch. While here, they learn about a Heavenly Father who loved them so much that He sent Jesus to save them. If you would like to join in supporting this ministry, but you're thinking, what can I do? Well, consider joining a growing group of people who've made a commitment to support these kids by leaving a gift to Wares Valley Ranch in their will. In doing so, you'll become a member of what we're calling Legacy 145. You can learn more at wvr.org. Just click on the icon that says Legacy 145. Because Psalm 145 says, one generation will commend your works to another. They will tell of your mighty acts. That's what Legacy 145 is all about. Again, wvr.org, and look for the Legacy 145 icon.
To step out of my comfort zone into the realm of the unknown where Jesus is.
Joseph, who clearly trusted God, who clearly wanted to please God, who refused the temptation on the basis that it would be a wicked thing and a sin against God. Joseph finds himself in a situation that he cannot avoid the temptation because one day in particular, she has made arrangements that nobody else is going to be there. And then she grabs hold of him, physically assaults him, and says, come lie with me. Joseph ran out of the house. He ran. You know what you need to do sometimes when you're facing temptation? Run! Paul tells Timothy, flee youthful lusts, the wicked desires of youth. You do not have to give in to temptation. Sin is not unavoidable. You can save yourself for marriage. Well, Pastor Wood, you don't know about my history. You don't know what I've been through. It's you know, that ship has sailed. No, it hasn't. I'm very sorry for what you've been through. I'm very sorry that things have happened in your life that shouldn't have. But that doesn't mean that you cannot begin now honoring the Lord with your body and saying, I want to please Him. I don't even know who I'm going to marry. I don't even know if I'm going to marry, but I know who my Redeemer is. And I want to please and honor Him. So, she caught him by his cloak and said, come to bed with me. But he left his cloak in her hand and ran out of the house. This is going to be the second time that his cloak has gotten him in trouble. So she lies about what happened. She accuses him of attempted molestation. And because there were no witnesses in the house at the time, it's her word against his. And she's got his coat. So, who are you going to believe? The slave or the wife? Well, Potiphar burned with anger, and he put Joseph in prison. I'm glad he wasn't killed. Joseph is put in prison, and if you're Joseph, it has to more than stink. I did the right thing, God. I said no. Day after day, she hounded me and tried to seduce me. And day after day, I said no. And now this is the thanks I get. What's worse than being a slave? Being a slave in prison. This is unjust. Yes, yes it is. But God's working. Not only is the Lord with him, the Lord is working all of this for good. And there in the prison, with the Lord, he begins to work hard and get promoted. Again, he could have said, well, man, I'm not gonna do that again. I mean, look where it got me. But he didn't do that. While Joseph was there in the prison, the Lord was with him. He showed him kindness and granted him favor in the eyes of the prison warden. So the warden put Joseph in charge of all those held in the prison, and he was made responsible for all that was done there. The warden paid no attention to anything under Joseph's care because the Lord was with Joseph and gave him success in whatever he did. Wow. So he may be a slave and he may be in prison, but he's running the prison. He's getting administrative experience. First in Potiphar's house, now in the prison there. What could be better preparation for being Prime Minister of Egypt than learning how to manage a bunch of prisoners? Yeah. This guy is headed for a promotion that even he didn't see coming. I want you to realize that if you do the right thing, you may suffer for it. But if you keep on doing the right thing, it should be because you trust in the God who always does the right thing, even when it doesn't feel like it does. God always does the right thing, and even the setbacks and hardships in this life are used by God to accomplish good things in us and for us.
You've been listening to Abiding in Christ. If you have questions that you'd like for us to tackle on the program or comments you want to make, I want to invite all of you to contact us at 866-41-ABIDE. That's our toll-free number, 866-41-ABIDE, or contact us on the web at pastorwood.org. That's pastorwood.org.